Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick 'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy H2O, and I'm the latest guest on the Kicks and Shit show. Make sure you guys check it out.
What is good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby, episode 68 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Quick one, in, out, you know.
Yeah, one take, Gerard. That's all it takes, right?
listen. Of the 68 episodes we've done, right? Like, how many actual... Oh, we got to start that over. We have not had a lot of those, all right? This has been a smooth transition.
I agree. I mean, I just think we should have included that as the first thing. You know, John, I don't want to create a false sense of perfection with our audience. Like, we just get this right every time. Let's keep it 100.
No, listen.
It's your boy, Gabby, and your girl, Mariah.
Let's listen. We get it right 98% of the time. All right.
I think it's better than most. You know what I mean?
Better than most.
I like to keep it real with our audience.
Listen, we are keeping it real with our audience. Normally, I start off, Gabby, asking you what's going on in these streets, and we will get to that. I do want to start off with just, you know, some sort of poignant and more serious topics. When this episode is released, when you guys listen to it, it is the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks on our nation. I'm sure everyone can remember where they were, what was happening at those times. You know, it's always a good time to just reflect and not only remember what's important in life, but, you know, those that lost their lives, you know, it was a moment that for sure, obviously shaped and changed the way that, you know, we operate as a country in so many different ways. That is the first thing. The other two things, the famed actor Michael Kenneth Williams, he played Omar on The Wire. He was Chalky White on Boardwalk Empire. He was also in Lovecraft Country and The Night Of on HBO. He tragically died of an overdose. And Fuquan Johnson, comic, also died of an overdose. And, you know, this isn't one of those things where it's, hey, you know, let me make this about me or whatever. It's not about that. You know, life is hard. And no matter what we see on the outside, that is shown to us on Instagram or on social medias, other platforms or whatever, you do not know what is going on with people. And it's all the more important to, you know, people say it and it's cliche, but no, actually do it. Check in on your friends, on your people, on your family, you know, people you have those kinds of relationships with, that, you know, even acquaintances who you talk to regularly. Just see what is going on with people and just ask them, hey, how are you doing? Like, you never know, you know, what that could do for someone. And I'm sure you have thoughts you want to share as well, Gabs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, this pandemic also has really magnified a lot of these issues and brought them to the forefront. And I think it's important to talk about it, right? Because we all have our struggles. And I think there's nothing wrong with coping in the way that you need to cope. But I agree, there's a real power of connection that, like, when I ask someone how they are, I'll follow it up with, okay, how are you really? Because I think it's important to have those real conversations, because I agree with you. You never know who's going to be impacted by that conversation, just to know that they're a thought, that they matter. And I think that's really important. I think accidents happen, but to be able to be connected to people, especially with everything going on, the world's a really tough place right now, and more so than ever. And that's okay. It's okay to deal with things and to go through things, but, you know, reach out to your loved ones, your friends, your family.
Yep.
I can't echo what you're saying enough.
That is the shared human experience, right? Is that the difficulties and trials and tribulations, right? Yep. Even pandemic aside, like, life just in general is hard. Like, don't get it twisted, right? And think that it doesn't look hard for so-and-so on Instagram or so. It's like, okay, but
Instagram is not reality.
Exactly. You are getting highlights. The best of is what you are getting on Instagram, right? You don't know what is actually going on behind the scenes. Yep. And so, again, to Gabby's point, and what I'm saying is, make sure, you know, see what's going on. And you do in fact never know. So again, rest in peace to those two men, and condolences to their families, of course. Tragic, and of condolences, of course, to all the families still grieving loved ones who died on 9/11. Again, the 20th anniversary. It's kind of hard to believe that it's been 20 years. Switching and transitioning into sort of more things relevant in a positive way, but just more around our ballywick, what we talk about here on this show. Last week we talked about Donda, and you know, Certified Lover Boy has been out now, and that's the new thing, right? That's the new jam, and that's, you know, it's been funny because there's been so many memes and just people just taking advantage of, you know, this sort of time, right? Two releases by two of our more influential artists, major artists. I just thought it was a very funny week on social media, and you know.
You know I'm here for the internet swirl. I mean, I think like shouts, every brand jumped on the bandwagon for Certified Lover Boy. But let me say, like, Certified Lover Boy, well done, KFC. You know, and I think it's funny, as I sip here on Labor Day with my giant Aperol Spritz.
Speaking of Aperol Spritz, you want to share with the class?
I do. I also have I'm not necessarily one of those people, but for those who care, it is officially Labor Day when this episode comes out, you guys. You can officially say it's pumpkin spice on Halloween season
I'm
not one of those people. I'm not a pumpkin spice girl. I think if I had a Spice Girl name, my name probably would be Pumpkin Spice. But
of course, everybody knows, right? The summer season, unofficially, Memorial Day to Labor Day, right? That's what most people view summer as. And so today, you kind of got that vibe out there. It's a nice day here in New York City. People were out in the streets. Gabby, we were
out in the streets. I was gonna say,
we were out in the streets. Which is why I want to talk about this Aperol Spritz. So
we were spritzing in the streets.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I was not spritzing, but you ordered an Aperol Spritz and you had an interesting addition to your Aperol Spritz that you were.
What a beautiful drink, by the way. Can we talk about that? This episode is not sponsored by Aperol, everyone. But
if Aperol wants to sponsor us, please, by all means.
I mean, I basically have enough in my apartment to seem like I'm a sponsored participant. Do you remember a couple years ago, by the way, when I think it was the New York Times or the Post that came out with an article being like, Aperol Spritz, not that great. And the people of New York, like, revolted. They had to, like, publish a follow-up article being like, all right, maybe it is pretty good. We hear you. I guess you guys do like this drink.
It's funny. Aperol Spritz is, I like it when it's one of the things I have to be in the mood for, though. It's not something I order all the time. It's, in the mood specific. But, Gabby, your Aperol Spritz came with an interesting addition.
So I do want to set the stage, right? The place that we were at in the Upper West Side, Gossip Girls.
Well, Gossip Girls on the Upper East Side. So,
I know. Well, we're going Upper West Siders. This is the motherfucking remix episode, Gerard, okay? It's your boy Gabby and your girl Gerard.
All right, okay? All right. Chill.
Here in these streets. But, a Bloody Mary, fine. Put something savory in there, right? Like a little snack, a little olive. Mm-hmm. I prefer a little bacon in mine because I'm a muscular lady. You know what I'm saying? But I've never seen an olive in a spritz. No. The weirdest part about it, and this was a fun restaurant, like great outdoor seating. Everything was like large and in charge.
Large and in charge is the way. Yes,
like
correct.
You order a bread and it comes like in like a 10-pound thing of bread, I ordered a side of pickles and I think I had like 6 pickles sliced up. I don't know why they segregated the 2 types of pickles. Like, why can't we all just get along? But like, I think the fact that they put one sole olive in this spritz, I was both intrigued and offended at the same time. I want to know why. I want to know how. I want to know, was this on purpose? Was this by mistake?
So in the interim from us going, I did do a little bit of Google searching, and there are some people who that's what they do. It is heavy, they do put olives in the Aperol Spritz. It's not as uncommon as you think.
I would love to know more about these people. How do they live their lives? Like, do they clean their sneakers? I don't think they do.
Do they clean their sneakers? Because when you put an olive in an Aperol Spritz, that's it. You're out.
I mean, that to me is like, you might be a serial killer. Like, I don't know what you're going to do next. If you're like, an olive in a spritz is a good decision. Olive on a martini, fine. Bloody Mary, correct. Great.
Right. Spritz, you're a little dubious. A little dubious. All right, fair enough.
Are you going to stab me? I don't know. Are you going to hug me? Maybe. I guess we'll never know.
Oh, my God. And on that note, friends... Stay tuned. We got a special guest coming up next. Don't go away. What's good, everybody? We are back. Gabby, we're not alone. We are joined by former professional basketball player turned entrepreneur, Haran Hargrave, a.k.a. H2O. What's up, my man?
What's going on, man? That's a great introduction. I like that. Getting off to a great start.
Listen. I try to make sure people get hyped about our guests and they're feeling it. So, Haran, thank you for joining us, of course. And I see, of course, you and Gabby got to go with your Knicks. Your Knicks colors. Listen, y'all brought it up because you had to bring your cups out. So I'm going to go there. Look.
Here we go. Let's go, Gerard. It's a holiday.
All I'm saying is be happy with where you're at. progress is not linear, okay? Sometimes it's ups and downs, peaks and valleys. I know y'all been in a valley for a long time. Hopefully, this is your way up out of the valley now, heading towards a peak. But you don't go from the valley to the top of Everest in one season, okay? That ain't how this game is played.
That's not what your man's LeBron says, but okay.
Well, wait. First of all, why LeBron's going to be my man?
You know, I always got to be on LeBron. I don't know. He's not my man.
Oh, well, we know that. We know that.
Not mine either.
So this is the anti-LeBron James podcast, apparently? Okay.
Anti. It's like the neutral.
No, I'm neutral on LeBron James. You are a hater. And I don't know enough about Haran yet to find out if he's a hater or not. We're going to find out. Oh, he's like, yeah, he's a hater. All right, so.
we'll figure it out.
All right, Haran. So we're going to start at the beginning where we start with so many of our guests. When did you first fall in love with sneakers?
Oh, I mean, that's been a part of my whole life, I would say. Like, my whole, since I was a child, like I've always loved sneakers. I've always loved to match. Like, just, like, from even, like, I wear, like, my staple is, like, wearing headbands and stuff like that. Like, when I'm playing on the court and stuff, so, and I love to match my uniforms. I would literally go and, see what color I asked, what color are we, just so I have my headband, match my sneakers, and, you know, they say, 80% of feeling good is looking good. You know what I mean? So I always like to look the part, look nice and match on that court. And then you always stand out, you know, when you match your sneakers with the uniform and everything. It's so since I was a kid, I've always loved sneakers. I would say since I was about, you know, 7-8 years old.
Okay. And what was that first pair when you were younger that you remember that like, yo, I love these?
I would say there was the pair that it was some Nike, it was a Nike, like Air Max. I couldn't remember, like Air Max that I had. I wore them so much. They were like my favorite pair of sneakers to the point where I had holes in them. Like, seriously. It was, you know, that was one of my favorite sneakers because they were like durable. And my mother would be like, why do you keep wearing these same sneakers? You have all of these sneakers. And I'm like, but I love them. Like, you know what I mean? And those were my kicks. So Air Max. Yeah.
I like that. And so we mentioned that you are a former professional basketball player. So mm-hmm. Let's talk about your basketball journey. Where did it begin? And who were some players as you were growing? You tried to model your game after.
Okay. So I've been playing ball since it was, you know, since I was 3 years old, I would say. You know, my mother put the ball in my hand. She used to run basketball tournaments. Okay. My mother used to run tournaments, and Mark Jackson, Anthony Mason, they all like played in my mom's tournament. You know, so it was then that I really fell in love with the game since a little child. And that literally kept me on a straight and narrow to do what I had to do. You know what I mean? And basketball, I feel like it opened so many doors for me in my life and my journey. And it kept me out of the streets. It kept me away from, you know, all the violence that could have occurred when I was in New York, you know, living in New York. And it was just a blessing to, you know, have something like that as an outlet. So I've been playing since a child, and my favorite player was Scottie Pippen. Mm. You know, people would think it was Michael Jordan, but it was actually Scottie Pippen. I used to just love his all around game. He would guard the best defenders. He would, you know, play and not really play so hard. And I really feel like the Bulls would not have won those championships like that if he wasn't around. If he wasn't on the team, I don't think Jordan won 6 rings. You know what I mean? But and then after that, it was Allen Iverson. So that was a player that I kind of like mimicked my game after. I wore number 3 because of Allen Iverson as well. I got tattoos when I was young because of Allen Iverson, you know. And he just was, you know, he was flashy on the court, and he played like he was a smaller guy like myself, and he had that never give up attitude, and I love that about him. It's a lot of things that I kind of mimic. You know, I was super quick to cross over, but I think I'm a better shooter than Allen. Oh,
okay. Look at that. Hey, listen, you have to hype yourself, or because ain't nobody else gonna hype you. So you gotta let people know. I like that. So you're on the AAU circuit, I assume, right? Playing ball, doing all that.
I actually, I really wasn't on the AAU circuit. Okay. My story is insane, man. I only played 1 year of high school basketball and made it to Division I ball.
Wow.
I only played my senior year at Campus Magnet High School. Quick story that can be very long. I went to junior high school that had the ninth grade in it. Lloyd Banks, the artist, the rapper, he went to my junior high school. Christopher Lloyd. He's a little older than me and stuff, but he went there as well. So I stayed for my ninth grade year. So when I came into high school, people thought I was a freshman. I was actually a sophomore. I broke my left wrist my sophomore year in high school, wiped out a whole season. Came back, worked out really hard, came back ready for my junior year, broke my left arm.
Wow.
My junior year. So wipe that whole, people don't notice about me. A lot of people don't notice. So I literally only had my senior year to play and go hard and like, you know, and I did it. And I went real hard. I made all Queens first team. I made honorable mention all city. But I also, I didn't have the grades. So I had to go to junior college and stuff. I had to go that route. I went to a Division III junior college my freshman year. And, that's like impossible to become a Division I player after going Division III junior college and stuff. So I worked really hard. I went from not even supposed to being on that team because I was trying to go to prep school because I only played 1 year high school basketball. I'm like, I need to play another year. But that didn't work out. So my people and stuff was like, you got to go somewhere.
Thank you, folks. A little bit of technical difficulties. You know how that goes. But Haran, you were in the middle of your story. So you broke your wrist, your arm. You only played 1 year high school ball. Went to JUCO, and you got picked up by San Diego State. No, Sacramento State.
Sacramento State. Yeah. Okay. So okay. Big Sky Conference. I wind up leading them and scoring my senior year. Broke the 3-point record. Hit 9 threes in one game against University of Denver. Also hold the single game steals record with 9 steals against Illinois State. Thereafter I played in, you know, the NBA D League, played overseas in Europe and I still then started playing street ball and stuff. And when I came back home from, Romania, I went and played in a summer league. Well, it was the spring league, Hoops in the Sun. And that's where I got the name H2O. I hit 57 points, hit 12 threes and that name stuck and I made it into my business.
I love it. H2O. So, but before, what was the experience like playing overseas? You were in Romania. What were some other cool cities? And you know what? I feel like most people, because they're young when that happens, they don't really appreciate the fact that they're over there, right? Like, was it the same for you?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like stayed in my room a lot, worked out, you know, 2 times a day, and just kind of just allowed, just, I was super focused on basketball. So I wasn't actually able to like see the city like I wanted to. It's like almost like a military focus when you're in another place and you're playing and you want to keep your job. It's not like the NBA where you got guaranteed contracts. Right, right. And you could play 10, 20, like a whole season where you just suck and still have your guaranteed money. Like they don't do that overseas. You play 1 or 2 bad games, you could be sent home. So it's you got to be on your P's and Q's at all time. I played in Romania, Hungary, China. I played in DR, played in Puerto Rico, Mexico, Colombia, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, and then, you know, I started playing the 3-on-3, FIBA, 3-on-3. I've been working out, running a lot more, getting, I'm actually going to be going to Boston to play in the Red Bull 3-on-3. Red Bull has started up the 3-on-3 thing, so I'm getting back into the fold with that. And it's not about me. It's not about anybody else. It's about me. Like, I always like to challenge myself to see if I can, you know, I do all this stuff and a lot of people forget what my roots are. Like, you know what I mean? Some people don't even know I play basketball and I don't talk about it that much. You know, I just, you know, it's, if you ask me a question, I'll tell you all of this stuff. And it's like, wow, I just thought you were, you know, just a guy who, you know, does Baller for Peace and like and do community events. But, you know, that's something that keeps me going. You know, sports keeps me going. Like, you know, I'm competing against, again, myself. Like, can I still do that? Like, you know what I mean? can I get better at? What can I get better at now? Like, so I love it. You know, some people will be like, yo, just sit down. You've done enough. You've proven yourself. You did it when it counted, right? I did it when it really counted, when, you know, playing ball and when it was.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you, demons and goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance, so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Everybody was playing ball. You know, everybody your age was playing ball. Now it's, you know, everybody my age isn't still playing ball. You know, it's like, you know, they have families and this and that. And I still love the game. So I coach it. I train it. I train people. I play it. I referee. I do a lot of different things. And I like to look dope when I'm doing it, too. Even my referee shoes. I like, I got some nice all black Nikes. And, you know, it's just a different style, man. Like, so I believe that getting back to sneakers is always the look, you know, and a lot. I don't care about, like, the names of sneakers all the time. I, like, really like to match and, like, you know. And you know, some people are like, some sneakers that people wouldn't even think are cool, right? They look cool. Like, I like the way they look. Now I'll buy them. You know, I've been to, like, even places like Ross or, like, you know, Marshall. Sometimes you find some gems and stuff in there, and it's like, you know, I'm all about that. And it doesn't matter when you get them. Some, like, people like Gabby love to get on those lists and everything, and like,
I never went on the list, though. I just want to, like, say it on record for the 90 millionth time. I never went on a list. I'm forever waiting and getting shut down by the bouncer. Like, am I not cute enough, you guys? Like, what's going on here?
So somebody like me, they could release them 4 months prior. If I see them somewhere later and I like them, I'm gonna go get them. Like, you know what I mean? I don't need to be first, but if I have them, cool. Like, you know.
Those are the best kind of pickups, though, right? And I think, like, I love that you talk about Ross and Marshalls and some of these other stores, and about style. I think, you know, we're from the New York, New Jersey area. Queens is a big part of basketball culture in New York. And New York is a basketball town, even though we might not have been the best team for a few years. But, you know, peaks and valleys, as a wise man once said. But talk about how Queens has influenced not just your playing style, but your style on and off the court.
Well, Queens, I feel, is the borough that a lot of talent comes from. And we have to go to other boroughs to showcase it a lot. You know, a lot of people don't come to Queens, you know, because it's a two fare zone. Like, you got to get the bus to the train. Like, you know what I mean? Or, like, somebody like myself, I lived in Queens and Long Island, you know, living in Rosedale for about 15 years. And then I lived in Jamaica, Queens for a long time. But we all had the bus to go to the train. Like, you know, so a lot of people just don't like to come out there. So, but being from Queens, we had to go a lot of other places. So it was very cool, like, for us. Like, I would love to go uptown and go to the Bronx or here, but they don't come here. So we actually get the best of all boroughs, right? Because we're actually going places and seeing more. When people are like, I'm from Harlem, so I'm just going to stay in Harlem. Like, it is like, okay, but there's a whole nother town over here that you don't know about. And that's something that, like, Queens guys do, you know, Queens, you know, people, I should say, you know, LL Cool J said it best, like, when he was on a come up, he was talking about how he had to go to these different boroughs and linking with certain people. And that's how, you know, you expand your network by doing that. Some people just have their little network and that be that, and they don't broaden their horizons. A lot of people don't even leave their blocks, but people from Queens, we all out. So I love being from Queens. But one of the things is that we don't really get too much support from others because we're so independently built. You know what I mean? So, like, I'll go to an event or a party by myself. Some people wouldn't even think twice about going somewhere by themselves if they didn't have 10 people with them. You know what I mean? And it's not about no big thing or anything like that. It's just they feel a need to have people around them. But being from Queens and growing up in Queens have made me super independent and super, like, self-efficient. So I love my borough. You know, I love my city, but I love Queens a lot. And that's where, like, you know, doing things for my borough is very big for me. You know, it means a lot to me.
So you mentioned, obviously, your nickname H2O and your company's H2O Basketball. So what are some of the things you do with that your company, and what are some of the things you do for your neighborhood and for the community of Queens?
So since before I even started my company, I started something called Queens Day, right? And me and my guy, Dave Buckner, we started Queens Day for all the senseless acts of violence that was going on in our community. My best friend, Mark Arrington, he got killed. He got shot up in Hollis, Queens. And it was a very sad day for me. You know what I mean? And I wanted to come back. I was in college. I was at Sacramento State at the time. I wanted to come back and do something positive. And so we started that, you know, Queens Day basketball tournament, Ironman basketball tournament. We gave out $1,000 because we know basketball, sports brings people together. But, we, you know, we play basketball. So basketball brings people together. We know that for a fact. If you're playing 5-on-5 pickup, yeah, West 4th, you're at the park, right? And, you know, I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're Asian, Indian, whatever. We're trying to stay on that court. So basketball is bringing us together. We're actually trying to find out what you do best so that we can continue to have you do that. If you're a great rebounder, like rebound, right? If you're a great passer, pass the ball. If you're a great shooter, shoot. And we use everybody's strengths in basketball and in sports. We use their strengths. Only outside of sports, a lot of times we're telling people what they can't do a lot. Like, you suck at this, or you know, you're not that good at writing essays, right? Like, I know I'm not. Like, that's why I'm here in school, right? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and life itself is just like, hey, you grew up in a poverty-stricken area. I know that, right? It's like, so how are you going to help me, right? How are we going to get better? And we don't have answers like that. We only have put-downs and a lot of that. So with that, I started HO Basketball, where I coach, I train, I mentor kids, and now, like, you know, independently. And then I started working with different companies like the Harlem Children's Zone, YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, and all these different organizations, to the point where I was like, I got to do this by myself and do it on my own. And that's where I built my own, you know, my own AAU team, HO Basketball. A lot of my kids aged out. I started with them in the fourth grade, and I used to just every year go up with them. And now, like, they're all like seniors in high school. And I'm like, shit, like, I'm getting old, bro. Like, you know what I mean? You know, some of them going off to college now. And it's like, wow, bro. Like, you know, but I didn't move back with my H2O team. I was coaching by myself. And that's something I have to do if I'm going to continue to move it forward, because it's a new wave of players coming. And, you know, I would just focus on my one team. You know, I would put them in tons of tournaments and stuff like that. And that was like my first bunch of babies, you know what I mean? So, you know, moving forward, you know, I started H2O Basketball. Queens Week. It started out as Queens Day, and then it grew. And then we went to the park that we did at, Roy Wilkins Park. They had like their 75th year anniversary, and they're like, hey, we love what you did in the park. can you do a week of that? Like, and I'm like, yeah, I can see. So then it became Queen's Week. Like, we had face painting for the kids, like clowns and bouncy houses and all that stuff. And it was just a great experience and a great day. And we made it happen. And at the end of the day, I just wanted to do more for my community and try to shed light on all the senseless acts of violence that was going on in my community. And, you know, and that led into Balling for Peace, which, you know, I've been doing for a couple of years now, too.
Tell us more about Balling for Peace and, you know, how H2O kind of led you into that and, like, all the good work that you're doing for the community with scholarships and merch and all that good stuff.
So if you've seen, like, recently I had, like, posted something from the New York Post in my stories. New York Post has been covering me and the Queens Chronicle and stuff like that for Queens Day, which became Queens Week. And, you know, I was doing that for a while. And then my partner had a child. He had a baby. And then it was like, man, I don't want to continue to do that by myself. So I want to, you know, we kind of like fell out with that because it's like we're all growing up now. And it was like, you know, I'm not, you know, it takes a lot to do these things. So it's like, you know, he has a child to raise and I'm like, I don't have a child, but, you know, I don't really want to do that particular event anymore without him. Like, you know what I'm saying? So the whole Mike Brown and Eric Garner situation happened and I'm like, we need to do something, you know? And that's when I started Balling for Peace and I had the celebrity charity sporting events. And I know that celebrities have a louder outreach, you know, from me doing Queens Week. I like, it was cool, but you know, it's still local. Balling for Peace is like low key global now, you know, and it's a lot of people know about it, and at least nationally. And we're pushing to go global with it and stuff as well too. Before COVID happened, we wanted to do the Road to Peace Tour, you know, sporting events. So we did the basketball, we did the flag football, we did bowling. This year we added softball, and we did that. The first softball game, I wanted to do something outside because of COVID, right? And it's really hard to get gyms and colleges to say, okay, you can have your basketball game. So I was like, if I'm gonna do a softball game, why not do it across the street from Yankee Stadium, you know, where they won 27 championships, and the aura of it and the beauty of the background of Yankee Stadium was amazing in my head. And it came out from my head to just seeing it in real life was just so dope, you know. And I did the NYPD versus Balling for Peace All-Stars, and I got the community, cops and community involved, and you know, with the celebrity touch, and it was perfect, you know. We had a lot of coverage from that. But I want to continue to do these things, you know. It's like a lot of times I do it and it feels like boom, it's great, wonderful, but then it's like, then I just sit back and go back to regular life for a little while. Like, you know, it's, so I want to continue to do these things and make sure that the people know about it. And I always say the right yes can change everything, and that's what I really believe in. You know, even with y'all show is dope, but you gotta keep pushing and keep going. You can do some dope stuff, but if the right people don't see it, then it's like, you know, it's you'll keep going until you get that yes that you need, you know. But what's to say, guys can be on Complex and this and that and third. Like, it has, you know, it's a wonderful show. So keep pushing. That's my advice to you guys with that. It's an amazing thing that you guys have. A lot of people start stuff and don't finish.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. You know?
So you got to keep going. You know what I'm saying? It's dope. And that's some of the words of encouragement that I can give you. But Balling for Peace has been a blessing. It's year 7 now. Queens Week, year 11 now. You know, it's just having to have those things happen and people kind of look forward to them every year. It can be, I gotta, and then you gotta get better every year, yep, too. Like, now we went from just jersey tops to, you know, or t-shirts to full-fledged jerseys this year. So shout out to Wooter Apparel. And it's just like, I when you see the vision, you put in what you get out, you get out what you put in, I'm sorry. And you just want to every year elevate a little bit more you know, and that's what I'm doing. You know, I'm kind of taking the things that I've learned from Bowling for Peace and, you know, implementing them into Queens Week and stuff. Because people, they look at what I've done with Bowling for Peace and they don't expect anything less. So I can't half-ass Queens Week. You know what I mean? I have to go all out for that as well, too. And it's very unique. The game itself is amazing, man. Like, this game is 21 by ones and twos, two game elimination. It's 20 minute running time. So every possession counts. You got to play man to man defense. So people have fun. It's not only just, it's not just your typical basketball game. It's like, and then you, the winning team is $5,000. So, you know,
it's
everybody.
It's exciting to watch too. Everybody gets involved.
Yeah. So you get some good basketball players and stuff like that. And, you know, it's amazing for me. I've never played in it. I get to just sit back and just watch some good basketball. And just last year was an amazing year because we had the first time we had three courts. We were able to do three courts at one time. So it kind of went quick. And then this was the first year that we had like ways for teams to pay to get us to pay before. Other than us having to run down and hey, can you give me $200 for the deposit or this, that, and third? So me and Buck used to run around like chickens with our head cut off trying to get everybody deposited. Sometimes, honest story, people would come to the park without fully paying of the day of and look at a team and be like, oh, nah, they in it? Nah, I ain't going to be in it. Like, wait, so you're not going to, you know you don't get any rent. Oh, it's cool. Or they would combine with other teams and it's like, yo, what is going on? So that would mess up our whole bracket. So now that we have Cash App, Zelle, and all these other ways, PayPal, and get paid, it felt like a whole different ball game. Like, we were super organized when it came down to that. We already knew all the teams and stuff. I was looking forward to Gabby being a part of it this year. Again.
I might be virtual, but
you know. Virtual. So,
I do want to talk about that, though, because I think, you know, I was fortunate enough to be there last year and to help you out and help bring your vision to life. And I think, like, you were really bold. And it was when the world was starting to open up. We didn't know where things were headed. Events weren't back yet. I felt like you were the first. And I felt like it was really inspiring and invigorating, not just for me, but like for the community and just seeing how people responded. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about, like, I know you start to talk about some of the changes from last year to this year, but like last year, your involvement with NYPD and reaching out, like with everything going on in the world, like that's a major moment. How are you kind of taking that and continuing to tell that story this year?
So with NYPD last year, they weren't giving out any permits for parks. I'm like on top of everything when it comes down to that. So I'm like, I need my permit. I don't care what's going on. Like, they're like, we're not giving any permits. So I said, I still want a police presence. And they're like, we can't guarantee it. So I'm like, dude, like I'm doing a peaceful event, basketball game. So I'm like talking to the community affairs director and everything. Like, this is why people in communities, right, and the cops and community, we butt heads, is because I'm trying to do something positive, right? I'm trying to do something positive, and you guys are telling me, we'll see if we can come. Like, dude, I don't want to have to look around and be like, oh, my event might get shut down because I have these people here. So, and I told them just like that, I'm doing my event. It's going to happen. I would love it if you guys can be there. So, you know, they gave me, I don't know, it's COVID, this, that, and the third. You could do it at your own leisure. And it's like, I'm going to do it. So I get a call in the morning, that morning, while I'm at the park. And they're like, hey, Mr. Hargrave, we're over there in the corner if you need us. Like, you know, we're right over there. So I went over there, walked to them, you know, dapped them up and stuff. And like, thank you. I appreciate it. And we took pictures and everything. And that's the type of stuff. And I said, this is what we need. The people need to see you, not just for when something bad is happening. You know what I mean? So when something good is happening as well, too, you stand there, you guys are having a good time as well. And they had a wonderful time. So that's just something that, again, bridging that gap. Let's have these conversations. Let's, you know, be okay with community policing. Like, you know what I mean? We should have our police in the community, not just when it's bad things happening, you know? Even down to when you're getting tickets, these people, like these cops are like, they're walking around and just giving out tickets, right? And I've gotten a ticket before from walking from my car to get the going to the meter. And I come back and I'm like, hey, I went to the, well, I'm sorry, I already started the process. It's like, dude, I didn't even get, like, how are you? Oh, well, just, you know, just tell them that and they'll just, you know, they'll throw it out. Like, it's like, I have to go through a whole process.
Yep.
So those conversations need to be had. We need to come together a little bit more. And, but again, a little bit this year, I'm going to do FDNY game versus NYPD. At Queens Week. So we're doing 2 days. Last year we did 1 day. We're going to come back for two. So we're going to bring the final four teams back. It's going to be 12 teams. The final four comes back for Sunday. And then we'll do a FDNY game. We're going to do a high school game and a middle school basketball game. And then, of course, the final four play. And then you have some performances. And doing events like this allows people who haven't been able to do or sell anything with their business. A lot of these vendors haven't had events to do.
Yeah.
So when I did Queens Week, they were like, thank you so much. Like, you know, this all selling out, you know, the food, you know, shirts, all that. So it was a great thing. And people don't realize that. Even the referees, they're getting paid. Everybody's getting paid to come out and do a job that, you know, during a time where people didn't know how they could get money. You know, I felt like I created ways for people to actually still feel good, you know what I mean? And working with the Knicks, with Gabby and stuff like that, we were doing a lot of that stuff, and then it just halted. Like, so it's like
that, you know, what you're doing, Haran, with Balm for Peace, with Queens Week and all this stuff, to tie it back to sneakers, this is what we often talk about, the community aspect of it, right? Like you mentioned, yo, cops, this shouldn't just be a thing where you guys just show up when you're trying to bang somebody's head in or whatever. Like, that's not, like, you should know the people in this community, the business owners, whatever, the people who are here all the time. And so when you, what you're doing is creating, I mean, use the word again, community, right? Where everyone works together, right? To solve their individual needs, right? Business people are getting their wares sold, right? Cops are getting to know people. People in the community are getting to know the cops. So it's not a thing where when they see you on the street and let's say some adverse event happens, it's like, wait, but I know Jim Smith because I've been doing Queens. I've been doing Queens with him for the last 3 weeks or the last 3 years. You know, all right, Jim, tell me what's going on here, right? Like, you, there is a level of familiarity and a way in which everybody can speak. And again, listen, man, people tell you this all the time, sure. You're doing the Lord's work, right? Because it's not difficult. It's not easy. Excuse me. It is really, really hard to do what you're doing. But that comes from a genuine place of love, right? Because you want to see your community do well, and that's what it's all about. But folks, Haran's not going anywhere because y'all know what's coming up next. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. Don't go away. What's good, everybody? We are back, and you know what time it is. America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. You know, listen, Chad and Adina, greatest people on earth. We love them. They are our sponsors of this segment. You know, we always talk about community, and we had a great time talking with Haran about what he's doing in Queens. I mean, this is what Chad and Adina are doing in the sneaker community, right? Building people, everybody getting together, talking about their love for these amazing things, right? So make sure you check out anotherlane.com, people, what they're doing over there. All right, Haran, the floor is yours, my man. Show us what you got.
All right, so I'm a ball player. So I have at a point in time, it was like you try to stay away from injuries and things of that nature. And Kobe Bryant came out with these Kobe Nines, right? These Kobe Nines Elite. I've never worn them. The LA Lakers color, and you see the purple and. See,
with the ankle support.
Ankle support. Needed these, you know what I mean? I got the Kobe 9s Elite. Never worn, and now that, you know, God rest his soul, you know, people like, you shouldn't wear them. Like, just keep letting the value go up on them and stuff. But I like sneakers. When I see them, sometimes I'll never wear them, right? And I know I'm not going to wear them. I just love to have them. And I wouldn't call myself like a super sneaker head, but I love good sneakers, right? I love like to play in sneakers as well too. Sometimes I'll buy sneakers twice and stuff. And these right here, the Kobe 10s right here, again, never worn. Never worn Kobe 10s.
Like that.
High, high.
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, so I also, the story about those, I saw them. One of my homeboys had them on. And I'm like, man, those are fire. And I like bought them and just was like, I didn't plan on not wearing them, but it's just, you know, you move from places. It's like, you know, I'm not going to force wearing a pair of sneakers. Sometimes you just gotta. And then when with me as a ball player, when I'm comfortable with a pair of sneakers, when I'm playing, mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll just rock out with those. I have tons. I don't know how many I can show, but these are the Grinch Amore Stoudemire's Christmas Day releases.
Oh.
Air Max Amore's, Nike, never worn again. Like, that's, I do have them. Stat. These are the stats.
I like them.
I have to say, it's very interesting that Amari has a pair in the Grinch colorway. Because... I gotta say one thing.
Oh Lord,
Shana Tova, Amari.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, to you, Gabby, Shana Tova.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. It's the year 50 something something. I don't. It's 5,000 something. I shall know. I don't know what the rest of the something.
We old.
Yeah, we old.
Wow.
I'm aging like a fine Manischewitz.
Manischewitz.
Yeah. and right here I have some KDs.
Oh.
I love a KD. Anyway, hold that up a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. That's one of the earlier models, KDs. Yeah.
Yes. KDs.
That's a comfortable shoe. Do you hoop in those?
Never worn.
Oh, okay, Mr. I'm going to start calling you instead of H2O. I'm going to call you Mr. Deadstock.
Deadstock.
Mr. Never Worn, right? Never Worn. And I have another pair of KDs.
I love when people literally go into their closet to fix.
I like those. Sneakers.
That makes me so happy.
I like those.
That's a great colorway.
Yep.
That's like a Queens Week colorway there, H.
Yes.
That looks like those jerseys you posted.
Mm-hmm. For Queens Week.
Exotic. I like that.
Purposefully done. These are the Texas
Longhorns.
Yeah, Longhorns mm-hmm, mm-hmm. edition that he had put out.
That to me is, I go to Queens, find me a queen.
And these are something I picked up in like China. Some Brazilian. There was a Brazilian. Whatever.
Those are cool.
And I have like they come with different color shoelaces and different.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Shoes. Again, never worn.
I like them. I like those.
What is your favorite pair that you rock currently? Even if you don't have it to show, I gotta ask. Like one for life and one for hooping. I want to know both of those.
I rock a lot of Air Force ones. Right now, I have the they're the Army color green
mm-hmm.
Air Forces.
Yeah, headband.
Yeah, gotta have
a headband.
I wore those even in the wintertime, like, and I wear like my pea coats with the hoodies. It's like super dope. And ripped jeans, of course. But yeah, and then I started working with Nike over the summer and doing I'm a national camp director with Nike, so I started doing that. So I had to wear a lot of my Nike sneakers all the time. So I went into my stash, started wearing some of my low cut Kobe's and different sneakers that I have, and started hooping in them. I wish I could show you, they glow in the dark and stuff. Pretty dope. I'm not good with the names of everything. I just buy them, like I said. And
that's what matters at the end of the day, though. Like,
that's
the name,
right.
if you like it,
that's right. That's what matters.
Happy. That's honestly all that matters. Like. Yeah. There's different names for the same pairs of kicks.
Exactly.
Who are you?
It's like how many, you know, Jordan retro, like 11s, there's a billion of them. Like, right. It's just like, whatever. Like,
and I'm heavy into Adidas as well too. I wear a lot of Adidas cause they feel comfortable.
Okay.
Like Adidas sneakers as well too. I like to wear the track suits and things of that nature.
Okay. I like it.
And again, I match with everything. So I'm
always.
Say, do you ever mix brands though?
Mm-hmm. You see, there you go. We don't play that game. We don't play that game. If I see somebody with some three stripes on and Nike shoes, I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
Unless they're a little kid. If they're a little kid, I'll give them a pass.
Nah.
Yo, moms, like.
You know what I tell little kids?
Go to Kohl's, get him an Adidas t-shirt.
Wear Nikes and Adidas. I don't care what it is. You can't have a Nike shirt on with Adidas shorts.
I don't care if you're two. I don't care.
If you're 100, I don't care. It don't matter. That is a faux pas. We don't play that game. No. Yo, I go to the stage where, like, if I'm wearing my Stan Smiths, I'm out or whatever, and I grab masks, right? I'm like, oh, I'm grabbing my Adidas mask, right, to go with it. Like, but if I have my Nike slides on, I'm not putting on that Adidas mask. You crazy? No.
No way. Can't do it.
I didn't know this about you.
Listen, can't do it, man. Can't do it. You see,
there you go.
Exactly.
That's why you gotta rock the neutrals in between, like the plain black leggings, the NBA mask.
See, that's what you ladies get to do. You guys get to have the neutrals in the middle.
So now you have an NBA mask too, Gerard.
Oh, I do. Shouts to Gabby for picking me up a little NBA mask, you know, doing it up. But Haran, man, this is dope. We really love and appreciate what you're doing, man. Tell the people where they can find you.
Hey, you can find me. I got a couple of handles. You can find me at H. I'm going to make it quick. H205. That's the letter O, not zero. Find me at H2O Basketball, Balling for Peace. Go to ballingforpeace.org. If you, anything that you want on that website, you can buy your merch. If you put in the word donate, you get 20% off of everything. So Balling for Peace, BALLIN, the number 4 in the word peace, .org. Find me there, and you know, whatever you need, hit me up on the gram, and you know, and that'll be that, man. Hopefully I thank you guys for the show. Hopefully we can you know, share this with the people.
No doubt.
That's right.
See, as he said, hit me up on the gram. That's what the kids say. They say, you know, anything you need.
Hit me on the gram.
That's what the kids say, Gabs. as always, folks, you know where to find us. We are part of the Count the Dings family. We are on the Bomb Podcast feed. You can find us with the original Bomb Show. You can find us with Crazy Sexy Cool, Woke Bros, Growing Up the Same, Rap Names. We're all there. And of course, we are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. Until next time, peace.